The Sportszilla Show from 2 to 4.
And Higashioka going out to talk to him to see where that hit him. Did hit him on the guard. It was that shin guard that goes from the ankle to the shin, actually.
It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain.
That's right! Who do you think you are? I am! David Wright!
And Matt.
I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. In my knowledge of him, he's never ever put on a jock strap. He's never been a coach. He's never been a scout. He's never been an administrator. And all of a sudden, he's an expert, has no more credentials to do what he's doing than my neighbor, and he doesn't even have season tickets to the NFL.
Here's a guy.
The Sportszilla Show starts now.
Here's a guy.
On twitch.tv/QSportsTalk.
Here's a guy.
And ESPN Radio.
Here's a guy who's got some credibility that many are familiar with, and of course, an alum. Damon Amendolara is on the Accelerate Sports Complex phone line to get us started right off the top, and I warned him ahead of time. He just wrote a piece, Orange Fizz, where he's going to be the bearer of bad news and deliver us the state of the Syracuse football program as it pertains to, let's just say, quote, an anonymous opposing coach. So let's get a little background on this and say hello to Damon. Thanks for joining us today, man. Your opening remarks based on my setup for you, sir.
Well, it doesn't give me any great pleasure in discussing how bad the football program is because I was there in the late 90s, early 2000s at SU. When I arrived on campus, it was McNabb and Marvin Harrison had just graduated. Dwight Freeney was there, and they were competing for Big East championships and rolling Miami at the Carrier Dome on that Thanksgiving weekend. And I remember the good times. And I like Dino Babers, and I've had him on my show a number of times on CBS a couple of times over the years. And I generally like him and thought that when he took over that program, the idea was right. Make it interesting, make it exciting, try to recruit some traditional ACC recruiting grounds and not just the Northeast, and instead of ground and pound like Doug Marone and Scott Schaefer wanted to do, open it up. But that's my preamble to I picked up the Athlon preview guide this year to thumb through it for the football season. Always love getting my Athlon preview summer fix, and got to the Syracuse page, excited to see what they thought about SU, even though I knew that expectations weren't going to be that high. But course was interested in it, and they have this opposing coach's take and anonymous opposing coach, and the anonymous opposing coach just absolutely smashes SU, saying that if you had to have one program that falls apart of the ACC this year, it's probably SU or Duke. They called it, this coach called SU a train wreck, at least externally. He also said that SU's offense is outdated, that in this kind of fast go down the field, that it's run its course, that other teams, other programs run the system better in the ACC itself, and that he didn't think that anything was going to get better because the offensive scheme is the identity, and that you just couldn't recruit that well in the Northeast. And that Athlon in general, from an editor's standpoint, thought that Syracuse would be the worst team in the division this year, one of the two worst teams in the ACC along with Duke, and that this is going to be another one-win campaign, at least in conference. So at least on that side of things, it does not look very bright for SU this year.
Yeah, I look at the same, and I read the piece, and I was like, oh, this is very disappointing. You know, I want to go back to the offense and the scheme. We're talking to Damon Amendolara here, CBS Sports Radio, on the Sports Hill Show on ESPN Radio. But one thing I've noticed, and I'm sure you watch the games too, is there's not much tight end involved either. And I wonder why that happens. And you talked about recruiting as well. We just can't get as good of players. There's just not as much talent available to a team like Syracuse. So those seem to be the two biggest issues.
Yeah, and I think that the scheme thing is really interesting, and here's why. You know, I wrote this piece for the website that I founded about Syracuse sports, Orange Fizz. And, you know, every week we're kind of going through the process of the week, the opponent for the week, where does Syracuse rank around the conference? I've been doing this for more than 10 years now. So I've seen the evolution up close and personal from when I was there to Pasqualoni to Marone, of course. I'm not even going to mention the Greg Robinson disaster, but from you know, Marone to Schaefer and now Dino Babers. And again, the concept makes sense. is that you can't always win ground and pound. It's what Coach P tried to do. Schaefer did much less effectively. Marone had some effectiveness for some standpoint, but the world changed. College football changed. And if you wanted to recruit to a carrier dome that's indoors and fast track, and you're now in the ACC, hey, you know what? There's worse ideas than getting kids that want to throw the football, because there's only a handful of wide receivers that don't want to catch, you know, 90 passes. Everybody wants to catch 90 passes. Every quarterback wants to throw for 4,000 yards. Every offense wants to do this. So you think that the pool of talent actually would suggest, oh, you know what, we play indoors. I've written so many pieces over the years of Syracuse plays indoors, fast carpet, take advantage of that, make it tough to play there, make it fun, get the fans involved. But what this coach is saying does unfortunately make sense. You're trying to recruit now a scheme that other programs in the conference will recruit to as well. And so when you go to Georgia or you go to Florida, which is places that Dino Babers have said, you know, that these are quality recruiting bases for us. We have to be good here. And you say, okay, we're going to throw 50 times a game. And as you said, kind of no tight end and all wide receiver, spread them all out. That's fine. But you're going to get the two-star kid anyway in Georgia, because the three-star kid's going to go to Georgia Tech, and the four-star kid's going to go to NC State or Florida State or Florida, and then the five-star kid's going to go in-state to Georgia or go to Miami or go to, you know, LSU or something, and you're still getting the lesser recruit. You're still getting the lesser talent because Syracuse also isn't winning. And that's, I think, the issue here. Your scheme is fine, but are you developing players that go from two stars and are really productive? Now, they've had some wins this year in the NFL draft, but not really offensively. So are you developing any of those young, you know, players that were two stars or three star kids and making them better and translating them into the victories? And scheme doesn't really matter when you go 1-10, because no kid wants to play for 1-10. So there lies kind of a broken cycle here that SU can't seem to build itself out of.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you're a kid and you're out there and you just look at that 1-10 record, you're like, I don't think so. So if Dino doesn't hit a certain number of wins this year, maybe it's six, and at least at the very least becoming bowl eligible, is this the last year he is the head coach of this program in your mind? Or what does he have to do to save his job? Because I feel like he is on the hot seat.
He is. Because you can't have a six-year tenure where you go to one bowl game. I mean, even at SU, where basketball has obviously far surpassed football now, you just simply can't go 6 years and have one bowl game. So I do think at the very least this year has to be a five-win year where you're going into December, you're going into late November, and you know, okay, we get this game and we're bowl eligible. It's not that hard when you look at the schedule this year, because you could envision four non-conference wins. That non-conference slate is really very light for SU. You got to beat Rutgers, but, you know, you got to beat the Carrier Dome. That shouldn't ever be your toughest non-conference opponent. So there's a way to get to four non-conference wins, although starting 4-0 seems like it's an impossibility for SU. But that only leaves you have to win then two games of the conference. If you can't win one game in conference and then need to beat, you know, BC at the end of the season to get bowl eligible, that's a real issue. And my only hesitation with saying that he'll be fired is we don't know the finances behind Syracuse football. You know, after the pandemic, knowing how light crowds usually are at the Carrier Dome for SU football, we don't really know with whatever the transition is going to be after Boeheim, whether it's 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, or forever from now, who knows. We just don't know if SU has the stomach to pay either buyouts or to pay a new coach with a new staff to come in. Sometimes it's just cheaper to keep the next ball rolling, and Dino might take a pay cut because he goes, well, I'm not going to get a better job somewhere else. So therein lies something that we can't know about. But in terms of sheer appetite for the program, look, if SU is a four-win team this year, and nobody's going to want to see Dino Babers back from a public standpoint, and thus the ticket buyers are going to be out and the season ticket holders won't be there, and that's going to spell doom for Wildhack and that athletic department that desperately wants to see some type of revenue coming in from SU football that's not just totally tied to the TV contract within the ACC.
Damon Amendolara is with us here on the Sports Hill Show. It's ESPN Radio, the founder of Orange Fizz, and of course, 6 to 10 on CBS Sports Radio. Is Garrett Schrader, who's coming in, obviously, a transfer from Mississippi State, Is he, he's the favorite, I think. Is he a good option? Can he help this team offensively? I think we've seen enough of Tommy DeVito to know what we have there. And on the flip side of that, after you answer that, transition to the defense. Is there enough on defense to at least hopefully get to our best case scenario that we've just been discussing? You said five wins, you know, something along those lines.
I think Schrader can bring a different style to SU football that I think that they desperately need. And they need somebody with both an arm and a set of legs, running ability, to create some big plays, some chunk plays, and to move those chains. Because last year was such a disaster, and we know the offensive line is pitiful. So somebody that obviously has mobility is really important here. And Tommy DeVito, who has tried, but despite his either limitations from a physical standpoint, injuries, what have you, has not been able to do it, is the broken link in this chain, unfortunately. It's not that he's a bad kid, but DeVito was supposed to be the four-star quarterback that was going to be the door that unlocked Dino Babers' offense. And if it worked, and they were going to put up, you know, 4,000 yards of passing offense and 35 points per game and a couple of huge performances, it was going to unlock the potential of the scheme, attract wide receivers and talent, help out recruiting, and get the next four-star quarterback in here. And now you start something, and it never worked, obviously. And that's ultimately where this chain breaks, and it's hard to put it on one kid, but it was supposed to be the thing that helped elevate the program. Since it didn't work, you're in desperation mode now, and Schrader kind of has to work, has to be better, because like you said, going back to DeVito doesn't give anybody any optimism that things change much. So I do have optimism that Schrader is a different brand of football and can work. I can tell you this is the biggest question that SU fans seem to have all summer long, because every time we write anything on the Fizz about the quarterback controversy or decision or competition, but it's our highest traffic stuff of the week. So people want to see, I think, a new quarterback, and I think that that is an important thing for the program as well, maybe to get some of the stench of last year off it, where the offense was such a disaster. Of course, DeVito was injured for a lot of it. From a defensive standpoint, I really worry. I mean, the defensive backfield has good talent, and now they have experience because so many kids had to play last year due to injury or COVID opt-outs. But I don't know if the talent is there defensively. I really don't. And when you start starting freshmen, true freshmen like Deuce Chestnut or, you know, redshirt freshman, what have you, in that secondary, and you're going to have to play the ACC with some really good programs and not a lot of down programs this year, it's scary. So the defense absolutely worries me. The offense, because it's Baber's specialty, gives me a little bit more optimism. But again, that offensive line's a problem. So does it give the quarterback enough time to do what it needs to do? Dino's going to have to pull a rabbit out of the hat this year and hope that all of those kids that got playing time last year equate into experience that fast forwards into a good season. And like we've been talking about, three or four wins ain't going to cut it this year for Dino, the program, the fan base, or the alumni.
Damon, switching over to basketball, the Boeheim's Army's back for the TBT, the basketball tournament. And we were wondering your thoughts on the roster. We love this roster, especially led by Devendorf, of course. I'm just looking forward to this tournament again, and it really saved our sports last year during the pandemic.
Yeah, it sure did. And I'm looking forward to this roster as well. I think it's one of the best rosters they've put together. Devendorf is so funny because, you know, when he was on campus, on the Hill, he was obviously such a polarizing figure. He was exciting. He was dashing. He was he had a lot of personality, sometimes too much. He was also combustible and could make the wrong decision and be in Boeheim's doghouse. So it's funny now, isn't it, that kind of Devendorf has become this kind of charismatic, popular figure where you can't wait to see what crazy thing he tweets about or says on social media or says in a podcast. I think it's pretty wild. And then he becomes kind of the anchor of this team. So I'm with you. I think this is a great roster. I'm looking forward to it as well, and I'm glad that the program and Jim Boeheim have really embraced this from the start, because it does not only lead to, I think, positive fundraising for a positive cause, but also it extends the Syracuse brand, and it helps extend the Syracuse basketball season, and I think it brings something in the summer where the Syracuse sports fan can feel good and follow along. And that's always kind of a good thing to leverage into popularity for your own programs and your own sports teams.
Jeremy Pope also taking the head coaching role, Ryan Blackwell switching to an associate head coach. Very interesting. The selection show, I know you're going to lock this in, Seth Greenberg and Chris Volster's on Monday at 1 o'clock as we're talking to Damon Amendolara. And thank you very much for the time. We're going to reach out again and pick your brain on all things Syracuse. So thanks so much for the time today.
And honestly, anytime. I love talking Syracuse sports. I'm writing about it every single day on the site and thinking about it all the time. So anytime you want to chop it up, you just let me know. You guys do a great job, man. Thanks so much for asking.
It's going to happen, and I'll text you soon. Maybe we'll hit you up in a week or so. That's Damon Amendolara, CBS Sports Radio, and, of course, the founder of Orange Fizz. We'll be right back. We're going to talk to Mario Sacco here on ESPN Radio from News Channel 9.
Season of 10.
It's the Sportszilla Show on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. Here's Rain and Matt.
The man from News Channel 9, Mario Sacco, is here with us once again on the Sportszilla Show, Accelerate Sports Complex phone line. He joined us Monday to kind of set up yesterday. He's going to now spill the beans about yesterday. He was on giving golf picks earlier with the guys on Orange Nation, but he's here to talk about his own golf game right now. So it ended up being the Sportszilla Open Golf match at Green Lakes ended up being just you and Mark Larson. And his response will be a little bit later on today at around 3:15. But break it down for us. First of all, the Twitter thread with all of this, it has been highly entertaining, and it's taking on a life of its own for the past week or so.
Mark played outstanding. I have never seen him hit a driver that well in my life, and I've been playing with him now for about 5 years. And, I mean, he was on fire with his driver. He probably on the front nine hit eight of the nine greens in regulation. I mean, he played outstanding. Then we hit 10. Well, it rained. We got to number three, and as soon as we got off three, it started to rain pretty hard, so we stopped for a little bit. Then it was fine the rest of the way. We got on 10, and it was, you know, blue skies and sunny. And Mark looked at me and said, see, you're right. It turned out to be a great day. And I was like, yeah. We got to 10's green, and it monsooned again, and we were hiding behind anything that we could find. Mark was, I don't know if you know number 10 at Green Lakes, but right next to 11, the tee box, Mark was deep down into the woods so he wouldn't get wet.
You can't get the pristine hair all wet, you know?
No. We played two more holes, and that's where the pitcher came from off of 13, hiding, you know. It rained pretty hard. It rained the rest of the way. But, I mean, I'll take what I shot in the rain. I played bad on the front nine, but played pretty well on the back nine in the rain. I couldn't hit a driver all day.
So you shot a 91. Mark Larson shot an 83. Nico had to back out. Axe had to back out. He's going to claim it's because he had to go to the John Wildhack press conference, which we're going to ask you about momentarily. Unless you
just
heard
to let you guys know, we were done at 1:30 and the Wildhack press conference is at 2.
I was gonna say unless there's something else that we're not hearing about here, and if you wanted to fill that in or perhaps embellish a little bit, we would be perfectly fine with that too. He's not on today. Axe is not on today at 4 o'clock, so he can't respond to this.
I completely understand. Work pops up, and luckily I had, you know, Alex and Steve to attend the Wildhack press conference, and they let me golf. So I greatly appreciate it. I understand those guys. Those guys have work to do. It's not easy to try and schedule four different schedules at one time to try and play. It kind of hinged on me, too, with my little daughter, someone watching my little daughter. So that was why I was begging Mark to play on Tuesday.
News Channel 9's Mario Sacco with a Sportszilla Show, ESPN Radio. Brought up the Wildhack press conference, covered a bunch of different subjects. We talked about getting back to full capacity, had the handling of COVID, the announcement of Dave Petromala being the defensive coordinator, joining Gary Gates' staff. We talked about women's lacrosse and Jim Boeheim, and the retirement plan came up again. And he actually named a couple of names, which jumped out to us a little bit. Jerry and Red, but not Griffin. Now, who knows when this is going to happen, but very interesting. If it's that or if it's something else, what are your main takeaways from the John Wildhack press conference yesterday?
Two things. You know, you touched on the Boeheim question that Steve asked about, you know, if there's a plan in place with all the coaches. And, you know, he kind of went in a roundabout way of talking about it. And I understand. I mean, he's the athletic director. He's not going to come out and say, yeah, Jim Boeheim has 3 years and we're locking him to it. But, you know, him, we all want to kind of see a timetable, so to say, of, you know, what the future is going to look like for this basketball team. And he talked about with Gary Gate and saying, you know, Gary Gate was the best man for that job, for the men's lacrosse position. And is it going to be Red or is it going to be Jerry? Are they the best man for the job for that Syracuse position? And that's, you know, time will tell. But, you know, how much further do you go until those guys get, you know, looks at other programs that they're going to be very interested in to maybe leave here? Like, you know, Coach Hopkins, you thought he was going to be here and be the next head coach. And, you know, a great opportunity came to go and coach at Washington. You know, does that pop up for Red or does it pop up for Jerry? Something like that. You know, only time will tell.
So talking about Boeheim's Army, what did you think about the roster selection so far?
You know, last year, you know, a couple of these guys were penciled in with Lydon and Chris McCullough. We're supposed to play on this team last year, and, you know, conflicts and injuries arose, and Lydon and McCullough couldn't play. But, you know, when you see those guys with Malachi on the floor, you know what Eric Diemendorf's going to give you. Every time he plays in that tournament, he makes the young guys look so silly.
He does.
But I'm interested to see how a new head coach, I know Ryan Blackwell's going to be there, how these guys will run kind of their offensive sets with a new head coach. Especially, we talked about those guys. You know, you got Lyon McCullough. You got a lot of big guys that can step outside and play that outside-inside game with their height and how tall they are. You know, I think there's a couple more, maybe one more addition that everyone's going to be surprised about that's going to help that team as well.
Yeah, there's definitely some size, some athleticism. Andrew White obviously is going to handle the three-point shooting. Is there any other shooting you think that they're going to target? I think is that the way they go to round out this roster?
I would say, you know, more of a guard-oriented person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have Pascal Tuku as your so to say, big guy, your five. But I think they run more of, you know, outside sets with the shooters that they have on the floor. I mean, McCullough, it wasn't a first-round pick and a high first-round pick for no apparent reason. The guy can play. He still plays at a high level, you know, if it be in Puerto Rico or overseas that he's played in. I'll be interested to see what Tyler Lydon, you know, we haven't seen him play in a couple of years, what he'll be able to do with this basketball team.
Yeah, the additions of players that were supposed to play and then got injured are going to be a huge boost to this roster. It's Mario Sacco with News Channel 9 talking to us on the Sports Illustrated Show with ESPN Radio. I want to switch to baseball with you quick. Last subject we want to address. These Tyler Glasnow comments and the foreign substances.
Former fire pitcher.
Yeah, and just a dominant narrative within Major League Baseball. And it's a problem. It is. You're suspending them 10 days. The issue I have with it is the fact that they're still paying them. So I don't know if that's a strong enough deterrent. And the other thing is, and Matt agrees with me on this, it's the timing of it, right?
Well, it's the timing, but it's also they're penalizing the teams as well because they won't let you replace said players. So if a team like the Yankees gets hit with two or three guys out of the rotation, you can't replace those guys with anyone in the minor leagues.
And then the umps are the judge, jury, and executioner of enforcing this. There's no appeals whatsoever. It's like one problem becomes an even bigger problem. And I don't know if it starts with Manfred or what it is, but what are your observations, Mario?
It should have been addressed in spring training if this was going on. You can't, you know, make these rules mid-season. They had the guys that in the morning, I had Tom Glavine on, and I don't know if you listened to him this morning, and he said, you know, back in the day, you would see it, you know, on the guy's caps. You could see the spot, you know, of pine tar. And nowadays, you look at pretty much any pitcher's cap, and they got something on. And Glasnow went a little over the top saying, you know, this is part of maybe the reason why that he got injured. Guys, that guy's been injured throughout his career, and it started in Pittsburgh. You know, he's a guy that's never been able to kind of fully stay healthy for a season. But, you know, you got to draw a line somewhere, and I guess they're trying to draw a hard line. Hard line, though, is not 10 days, and you still get paid. And like you said, you're only hurting your team, not being able to replace them.
It's crazy. He said I threw 80-something innings, and he just told me I can't use anything. I truly believe 100% that's why I got hurt. Trevor Bauer's jumped in on this. Carlos Rodon has jumped in on this. This is just the beginning of an issue that is going to snowball when they actually start to enforce this. And I think ultimately, though, they're going to target big names because the little names, they don't mean as much. They want to make a splash.
Yeah, they're looking for the Garrett Coles, yeah. the Kershaws, the Trevor Bauers, I'm sure they're looking in any reason now to try and pinpoint why DeGrom has been so dominant and you know, he's got nothing to do with this, but you know, they're going to look at something and if it be, it just amazes me that what they were doing. Like Glasnow said, he would use sunscreen and rosin to make it, to have a better grip. And that, some of that stuff's mind boggling to me, but you know, it is what it is. I was never a pitcher at that elite level. I flamed out at about 12 years old in Little League.
To answer your question, I did hear Glavin earlier in our sound check segment a little bit later. I will air some of his comments. We're going to get back into the Twitch chat right now. Take a quick break here on ESPN Radio. Coming back with Nico Tamarian from CNY Central. The question is, will Leiden and Chris McCullough actually play? Both had pulled out last year. Yeah, that's what we were hoping would add a little bit to the roster. Fingers crossed. Hang tight.
The Sportszilla Show.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing the Central New York sports fan together.
You're supposed to wear your mask all over your nose.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
Can everyone hear me okay? Everyone listen up?
You're killing me, Smalls. It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt on twitch.tv/QSportsTalk and ESPN Radio.
Well, for Pete's sake, here we go again.
Sportscaster Wednesday on the Sportszilla Show, continuing now with Nico Tamarian from CNY Central. Nico, it's good to talk to you. Last time we spoke, you were telling us, and it was exclusive to our Twitch chat at Q Sports Talk, but you gave us your sports festivus, or your airing of your sports grievances, you're killing me Smalls. Something that kind of makes you roll your eyes or you can't quite figure out. In the world of sports, and you have something for us, so let's get to it right off the top.
Yeah, it kind of happened organically. You're killing me, Smalls, with these anonymous assistant coach comments. You know, and to reference, we're talking about the Athlon Preview Magazine, which is like the gold standard of college football previews, and there were anonymous assistant coaches in the ACC calling Syracuse a train wreck, saying that while Coach Favors has respect in the conference, the offensive approach is outdated. And I just hate this anonymous assistant coach quote stuff. It's going to be newsworthy because of who it is, and I know other outlets have picked it up, and that's fine because, again, it becomes newsworthy. But I'm going to bring up 2 points. Number one, you don't think there's any ulterior motives there?
Of course there is.
Syracuse isn't competing. Well, that's what I'm saying. Syracuse is competing with those same assistant coaches in the ACC for the same recruits, primarily on the East Coast, right? And, of course, they have everything to gain by – this recruit or that recruit reading that Syracuse is a train wreck or reading that that offense is outdated. If you're a wide receiver, you want to be with the times, you got to go to somewhere else in the ACC. So let's not pretend like this is pure just to help out some journalist publication. Oh, let's help these guys out with a quote. No, like they're trying to get something out of it. So that's my big grievance with it. And I know this is a different sport, but how many times are we going to listen to these anonymous assistant coaches and actually think they know what the heck they're talking about when it comes to these things? Now, obviously, they know what they're talking about with the sport because they wouldn't rise to that level otherwise. But let's go back to 2006. Jerry McNamara is overrated, according to these assistant coaches. That was a bad idea, right? They go on to win the Big East tournament. Earlier this year, much more contemporary example. You know, Syracuse with Buddy Boeheim and Joe Girard are kind of like a bunch of lunchtime, you know, YMCA players just chucking the ball up. And they, you know, chuck their ball up all the way to the Sweet 16, right? Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You're absolutely.
So like, give me an example, especially regarding Syracuse, where these anonymous assistant coach quotes have actually panned out. I just think it's, you know, it's far beyond time we stop paying attention to it. And I'm not going to knock, you know, anybody that wants to read it or whatever, because you can get your perspective. But but to put any stock beyond just taking it with a grain of salt, I think it's just understanding the ulterior motives. It's a bad idea. That's my grievance.
Put your name on it, or it's basically just clickbait. I'm gonna give one of these to you, Nico.
You're Smalls.
Oh wait, you ready?
Yeah.
You ready this time, glue guy?
I am.
All right.
You're killing me, Smalls.
There we go.
And now it's official with Nico Tamarian. Nico, listen, the John Wildhack press conference yesterday covered a lot of different subjects. I mean, nothing groundbreaking really was said. There are a few things that stuck out. We thought it was interesting that he named a couple of names and one who will not be getting the gig after Jim Boeheim eventually retires, which we know is a ways away. Also jumped out to me that the university lost about $10 million with no ACC or NCAA tournament. But, I mean, a plethora of different subjects were addressed, so we want to ask you the same thing we asked Mario. What jumped out to you?
I think, you know, because John is obviously, from his time at ESPN, so media savvy. I mean, there's nothing you can ask him that's going to give you something necessarily unexpected. Like, he's a very intelligent, cerebral guy, so everything he says has been planned out. Okay, so what made yesterday a little bit surprising was that he was I want to say more forthcoming, because it's not like he hides anything, but a little bit more open about the future of basketball. Like you mentioned, naming, you know, Jerry or Adrian, not ruling out a national search, even if they didn't land on Gary Gate, like you referenced the lacrosse search. I think what stood out to me, though, is that he specifically named football and figuring it out when our guy Brent X asked about what he needs to do in the next 5 years.
And absolutely.
I thought that was interesting because, yeah, that's an opportunity to just say, yeah, we want to, you know, charge into the future, get on the other side of the pandemic. Like, you can give a totally generic answer. Nobody's going to bat an eye at it. But the fact that he said, we've got to figure football out. And yeah, he's clearly, you know, he's not saying anything that's earth-shattering, like you said. But what was surprising is the fact that he specifically did name a sport. Well, yes, they are 6-17 in the last 2 years, the 2020 year being so different aside with all the injuries, departures, et cetera. But that really stood out to me, and that was, it's certainly, I don't want to say it was out of character for John, but it was definitely a little surprising to hear a specific sport mentioned.
Yeah, it definitely was. Nico Tamarian, CNY Central, ESPN Radio, Sportszilla Show. Did we ask you about Boeheim's Army? No, I don't think we did. We looked at the roster, and there was even a couple of comments at Q Sports Talk on Twitch, but Tyler Lydon and Chris McCullough were the two that jumped out to some people that made comment to us because they were supposed to play, but then injury kept them out. And then you combine them with the rest of this roster. I mean, Devo's back. CJ Fair is going to be there. Pascal Chukwu, Andrew White, Kiefer Sykes and Tyrese Rice, a couple players you might not be familiar with, but you will eventually. I'm just looking forward to this full tournament and just getting, it's going to take care of the end of our July into August and a downtime in sports. So it's something to really look forward to for me.
And a brand new head coach as well.
And that's right. Jeremy Pope taking over. Ryan Blackwell was going to slide into the associate head coach chair. Just your overall thoughts on that. And what do you think of this roster?
I think we had to do some Googling to figure out some of these new guys, right? When we first saw the roster release. You know, I think it shows that Boeheim's Army and you know, the Bellbees are really going to doubling down on, okay, we've had a lot of success. We've had some good runs. We've given Syracuse fans a lot to root for, but now we want to win $1 million or $2 million, whatever it is this year. And so I think you do that when you bring in the level of players you are, and not just the SU guys, but when you start looking outside the program, that tells me that, okay, you know, these guys aren't Syracuse guys, but and they've done it before with Will Raymond and Crawford there a couple years ago, but they're trying to fill holes on where they think this team can take steps forward. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what this team can do. And you mentioned it, Pascal Chukwu, he's not the guy that's going to jump off the page at you, but nobody's going to ask him to score like 10 or 20 points a game. It's going to be interesting to see how at this level they handle the 7-2 guy rim protector, which Pascal has always been. And so you've got scorers everywhere else on the floor with Devo and Andrew White and CJ. Like, it just goes down the line. I think this is that commitment. They have really come together and found a lot of, you know, really good pieces at every position. It's going to be very intriguing to watch. In addition, I think they're going to make it further than they did last year and maybe get back to that Final Four. We'll see what happens. I know Overseas Elite is not playing, so that's, you know, they've won four of the championships. So it's going to open it up a little bit more, and let's see what happens with it.
Four championships and $7 million. Yeah, I think Boeheim's Army wouldn't mind a slice of that, that's for sure. So these are players from Syracuse Pass getting together, and they'll be playing in the future. But let's also take a look at the 2022 future, the class of 2022. Chance Westry and J.J. Starling are making official visits. Of course, a couple of key players that would be great additions for Syracuse.
Yeah, and I think I'll start with JJ just because I have interviewed him and I know the family. And I mean, my goodness, and you probably heard this from the other recruiting people you talked to. I mean, just an incredible young guy. This is aside from the basketball talent, just comes from a great family. I just, anytime I cross paths with the Starlings, I'm just, it's a good day. It's a good, it's just really an enjoyable experience. That said, he's pretty darn good at basketball too. And he'd be coming aboard and he could immediately, you know, be on the ball, so to speak. And who knows, you know, if you're talking about going forward, I mean, this could be that next home star, hometown star story, which I really love to see. And Chance Westry, you know, I'm really intrigued by this as well, because that's a guy that first came to my attention way back when Dior Johnson committed, as like, okay, he's going to be the next big guy to commit. And certainly that was, you know, almost 18 months ago, right? And the idea now that, you know, their Syracuse has never let up, I think that probably plays a lot into it. Now, granted, they're competing with everybody for these guys. In fact, Duke just offering JJ the other day.
Saw that.
But you already have a great commit in Kamari Lands coming in. And I think that you can start to build on that momentum. Jim Boeheim has already said, hey, I'm not going anywhere. So there's not that whole, like, well, will he or won't he? Even if the other schools they're competing against, some of them anyway, will try that. This is a big weekend. Yeah, and I think it starts with JJ being the local guy and just how far he's taken his game.
We wanted to get your comments on the Sportszilla Open yesterday, which was supposed to be between you, Brent, Mario Sacco, and Mark Larson. And we also wanted to get your comments on, as we were hanging up with Mario, he said he would not lose to Alex Sims and Kate Calloway.
And even if there has to be a monetary wager or a simple bet, it could be pizza and wings. He doesn't care.
All right, so you guys are some of the nicest people you ever met. So I'm going to say the unnice things you can't say. Number one, Alex and Kate could give Mario 10 strokes and they'd still win. Since we weren't there, we don't know how many times Mario and Mark counted all their strokes.
Yeah, that's a valid point. And,
So we're going to see about that. No, Mark's pretty particular. I'm just busting at Mario a little bit. No, but there's absolutely no way Mario comes within 7 shots of Alex and Kate. I'm going to put that. That'll be my bet. And, we're going to see. You know, I unfortunately wasn't able to go. Some last-minute work commitments came up. Looks like I did avoid some rain and some questionable scorekeeping by not playing. but there is a little bit of it's a semi-makeup. Mark won't be there, but I have my little golf tournament that I do every year for Matt Mulcahy's Shamrock Animal Fund. It's Saturday. Just a small little gathering. We kind of pitch in and, you know, able to donate a little bit to Matt's charity. But Mario's in it. It's a two-person captain and crew, so to speak. I think it's called captain and mate, but it's basically like, you know, you both hit from the next shot. So it's Mario and my guy Tommy Sladek on a team, and Brent's my partner. So we'll see who has the better score for my tournament this weekend and report back to you. Because let's be honest, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing the video of him and Mark golfing with Kate and Alex, but there's absolutely no way Kate and Alex lose that match. So.
Oh, man, I am so
this all weekend is the real one.
Okay, and then, of course, we've got to account for the mulligans next time. Remember that. How many mullies did you take, and was it per 9?
Breakfast balls.
Yeah, was it per 9? Was it 1 per 18? How did you break that all down? All right, we'll get to the bottom of it. Nico, as always, thanks for the time on Sportscaster Wednesday on the Sportszilla Show. Appreciate you, man.
Alex and K57, thank you.
This is ESPN Radio. You're killing me, Smalls, is next. And some breaking news about Rookie of the Year in the NBA. Hang on.
The Sportszilla Show.
Oh, yeah?
Bringing the Central New York sports fan together.
You're supposed to wear your mask all over your nose.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
Can everyone hear me okay? Everyone listen up?
You're killing me, Smalls. It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt on twitch.tv/QSportsTalk and ESPN Radio.
Well, for Pete's sake, here we go again.
LaMelo Ball is not killing me, Smalls. A rookie of the year beat out Anthony Edwards and Tyrese Halliburton. I thought it was going to be Anthony Edwards because LaMelo got hurt for a while, and I thought that would let him surpass. That did not happen. I guess congratulations to LaMelo Ball. Hopefully we don't have to hear from his father at all.
Here's to hoping, and if so, then that will kill me, Smalls.
That would be you're killing me, Smalls. Why do we have to hear from his dad?
You're killing me, Smalls.
Tua had 5 interceptions, by the way. They're going to shut it back down in the NFL until training camps open. But it was not looking good for him. Is this the narrative where you're always talking about these Alabama quarterbacks aren't really ready for the NFL, but it's the brand? Ooh, because they went to Alabama. Roll Tide.
You know, that's a good question.
They're going to be great in the NFL.
I'm not sure, only because it's minicamp.
Mac Jones is going to suck for the Patriots.
Eye roll.
I blurted that one out.
I don't think it really matters, only because it's happening during training camp. the mandatory minicamp. So we'll see once training camp comes in early August how he does from there.
Are they going to regret?
Yes.
Tua Tagovailoa?
I believe so.
I think so also. Five interceptions, though. Yikes. That just
in 7-on-7, by the way.
That jumps off the page, and if you're a Dolphins fan, your dad's a Dolphins fan.
He is.
Did he hear about that?
I don't think so.
Does he know that?
No.
Go home tonight and ruin his night after work. Hey,
I would like to have a good night at home.
You see Tua had five interceptions the other day, Dad? See what he does.
No, let's not.
I don't think he'll cry. He won't get mad, will he?
Oh, he'll get angry.
He'll get angry?
Yeah.
Oh, you definitely got to do it then. Can you record it?
No.
We want this.
I will not.
Injuries to big-name players that we want to watch. That's killing us, too. Take it from there, Glue. Who's your guys?
Kawhi Leonard going down with a possible ACL injury. So we might not see him for a complete year. And you also have Tyler Glasnow going down with the UCL injury for the Rays.
Boy, it means it's the Paul George show. Do you think he pulls a KD tonight?
The playoff P? No, I don't think so.
I don't think that's going to happen either, and I think that might just have cemented things for the Jazz. Even though, is it Mike Conley that they're without?
Mike Conley's out, yes.
And Spida Mitchell is already, is kind of banged up a little
bit. I think it's probable, but...
Evens things out?
Yeah.
Or do they have enough to still beat with Rudy Gobert, for example?
Do we see a Nikola Jokic-esque Rudy Gobert tonight?
I wonder what's going to happen here.
How fun would that be?
Just be crazy if you want my honest opinion. And I think he could do it, don't you?
Oh, I think for sure.
I don't know about that. We might be
We
might be stretching things a little bit. Defensively, I have faith. Offensively, I don't know if that happens quite the same. The other one is Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. Once again... You know, in Orange Nation, they've got a bet going about like Koepka winning it, right? For example, yeah. You know, Paulie and Steve, and they were all talking about it. Mario was on to talk about it, and they were making their picks. But I think they screwed up, and I want to bring this up again. That is the one thing that would truly guarantee massive ratings for golf if you paired those two. I don't know how you don't, and I understand the premise that it's the gentleman's game and all of that, but... That's what fans want. You want these two. You know they can't stand each other. You couldn't look away. It's like a train wreck. It's a car crash. You want to see them fight and bicker on the course.
So
I want this to get Happy Gilmore.
I'm wondering if they're going to hold off on this, let the rivalry brew up some more before they actually pair them up.
What if they play themselves right into a pairing and there's nothing they can do about it?
They'll try to split them up somehow.
That's what I'm talking about. Those two leading going into the third round and you pair them up or the fourth round on Sunday. That's what I'm talking about. The golf gods need to answer our prayers.
Let it happen.
Please let this happen. But simply by not pairing them up to begin with, I think he dropped the ball.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Rick Beardsley, Beast Mode next. Talk about lacrosse. Not just the men's team, but the women's team. And, of course, the Dave Petromala news is huge. We'll start there and then take the conversation elsewhere. It's ESPN Radio.
The Sportszilla Show. No dropped passes. No fumbles. This is the perfect receiver.
Oh, did you see that hit? Boom!
You're supposed to wear your mask over your nose.
It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain and the Glue Guy, Matt, on ESPN Radio. And twitch.tv/QSportsTalk.
I'm going to play a piece of audio right now for Rick Beardsley, who is on the phone, and we're about to go beast mode. I'm going to play this audio from John Wildhack from the press conference yesterday when he addressed the women's lacrosse head coach search.
We have a short list of candidates. Some will be in this week, and we'll conduct interviews. We're very, very pleased with the list. We've done a lot of research and thorough vetting over the past several days. I'm not going to put a timetable on an announcement, but as I stated last week, we want to move with alacrity, but we're going to make sure we're really, really thorough. And our aspirations for that program remain as they were when Gary was head coach, and that is to resource this program to compete and play and win national championships.
So that was one issue addressed as far as the lacrosse program, men's and women's, at Syracuse University. Dave Petromala was officially named the defensive coordinator. We all know about his rich histories at Johns Hopkins, etc. But Rick, you listened to the press conference, so address all things lacrosse that you heard.
I mean, obviously, John Wildhack
kind of talks in circles. He's spectacular at doing that. So did we really get an answer?
No.
On what's going on with the girls? You know what I mean? There's candidates in. I heard Katie Rowan was in. I know that, you know, Joe Spallina hasn't gotten a phone call that I know of as of today. You know, I've heard only a short list of people. Like, one was Kelly Amante from Northwestern. The other was Acacia Walker from BC. Obviously, Kayla Traynor from BC. Those are names I heard. Now, I'll be honest with you guys, as I always am, I'm done listening to the rumors because, you know, we're going to move with veracity, but yet not jump into things or whatever. If that was even the word used, I just think, you know, they're going to pick the best candidate. I don't think Gary has as much say as people think. Do I think they're going to pick the right person? I hope so. I do think that, you know, the girls, the way it all went down, it's kind of tough. Right, guys, we talked about this.
Yeah.
Imagine finding out about your legendary head coach all of a sudden on a screenshot, or they send you the link, and you all of a sudden get blindsided by that. So, you know, you got to feel for the girls in this. I do know that I think the lead candidate should be Joe Spallina. You know, he's coached at a high level, the Stony Brook coach. His son is going to go to school there. The one big thing that also does, guys, is he knows most of the girls, right? Because he recruited the same people. He's coached some of the girls in the USA team tryouts. You know, they have mutual friends. Obviously, they're from the island. He's friends with, you know, Caitlin DeFelice. Sydney Pareca is from his hometown, the assistant there. But, like, the biggest thing that I see that could come out of this with Joe is it frees up a full scholarship for Gary to use. So if I'm Gary, I want Joe Spallina, because then you get a chance to go get one more guy. Maybe you get that Canadian finisher, right, with a full scholarship, that, or maybe you swipe somebody from somebody else that you think will fit into whatever offense they're going to run. So, you know, Joe working at the university fills, you know, because Joey's got a full scholarship offer on the table.
That's right.
I mean, that's just what I think. And I listened to you guys yesterday speak about Nick and Dominic.
Yeah.
Petromala. You know, obviously, imagine if you had Dom Petromala and Joe Spallina, number one and number two in the country, right and left, and then you stick the best Canadian finisher you can find inside. I mean, could be the most formidable attack since it was Zolberti, Marichek, and Greg Burns. You know, all, by the way, the attackman of the year in the late 80s, early 90s. So, I mean, about the girls' job, I'm all in on Joe Spallina. No one listens to me, so maybe we're all set, right?
Well, we're listening to you. Rick Beardsley going beast mode with us on the Sports Illustrated Show. It's ESPN Radio. You brought up Dave Petromala. Do you get his sons? UNC, listen, it's a great program, but Dom and Nicholas, that's where they're committed. Do you get them to flip to Syracuse? Because Syracuse is still the name brand in men's lacrosse nationwide. And it would be enormous if that could happen. I mean, recruiting is paramount right now. And he's not just building for next year. He's building for the year after that. And that's when we're really going to start to see the momentum pick up, you know, with his innovation, with his attitude, with his everything about getting the Michael Jordan of the sport to take over this program. Put that all together, and this is exactly where Syracuse wants to be.
Well, guys, get it this way. So,
we lost the connection. Hang on. We lost the connection with him quick here.
Number one defensive recruit in America. Roy Colston was in America. Chad Smith was the number two guy behind me, and the class above me was Hans Schmidt, the number one guy. Guess where we all ended up, fellas? At Syracuse with two national championships, simply because it became the premier program to play at. So the repercussions of having a great recruiting class, the ripple effect per se, right, is just amazing. If you can get those guys to sign NLIs, you know, in next November, Syracuse could be in a very, very good spot set up for the future. Plus, that you get is now Team 91 has some of the best players in America on those programs, you get that pipeline back to Long Island, which is what Duke has done, which is what UNC's done, which is what Maryland has done. You start to get that pipeline back. And then with Dave being on board, now we're forgetting about Pat March. Pat's done a great job, so we're not going to discount that. But with Dave on board, now you open up to all those Maryland recruits, right? Because his kids have played in Maryland for all those years. Typically things that Syracuse doesn't get, right? We don't get guys below the Mason-Dixon line. So this could be very, very huge if done correctly.
Rick, what changes will Dave Petromala and hence Gary Gate make as far as schemes that you think, based on what you've seen, that they, what direction do they need to go? In other words, what tweaks or changes? I mean, you obviously you played, but you have a coaching background as well. So what difference, what different little things do you do to, because it's always in the details that makes this team better?
Well, I mean, Dave Petromala is obviously arguably the best defenseman of all time. I'm not even going to go there with myself, guys. I think I'm up there in life with my own ego, but I'm not even close to Dave. But the biggest thing that Dave brings to the table is he brings a very complex defensive style, which can hurt you and which can help you. But it's better than what Syracuse has had, which was a very, you know, very simplistic offense. I mean, a very simplistic defense. So Dave will bring in those concepts of that modern type of schemes. And, you know, Dave's defensive scheme, I can't explain it to you in this short amount of time, but it's basically based on what the defensive set, I mean, the offensive set gives you. So it'll become an adjacent slide if it's X. It'll become a slide through the crease if it's Y. It'll become a two-bump slide if it's Z. So there's so many different things in his schemes. And, you know, obviously the guy was a head coach at a high level. He has national championships to himself as a coach. So that experience right there is going to help. And then with Gary's creativity, you know, guys, Gary coached with – I really saw a different side, like I told you, of Gary when I coached Braden. He came and coached with me at CBA. I was very, very fortunate, obviously. I never learned more being next to a coach in my life for 6 months, you know, for 3 months. You know, he thought outside the box, saw the little things. And that's what, you know, what kind of style, what identity. I don't know what identity he's going to bring. I'm assuming it's going to be a very creative, you know, very creative, fast-paced, like the girls was, right? And a very aggressive style on defense like he had in the women's game, because that's what Gary knows, right? That's what he plays like. So look for those great changes to happen and for them to recruit people that fit that scheme.
Rick, I was wondering your thoughts on, should we be hearing a lot more from John Wildhack throughout the year? Because I feel like it's been since early spring, since the last time we heard from him. Now it's almost summer.
I mean, guys, I can't speak for the AD. I mean, a good AD sometimes sits in the shadows. I mean, Jake Krautheimel was a great AD, but he always sat lurking in the shadows. So for me, you know, a great AD helps make change, implement change. And a guy a few words was Jake Krautheimel. Everyone knows that in this town. So, I mean, we're used to it, kind of. I mean, I do know that I do think they should have addressed some things that they didn't address. I tweeted about it yesterday. You know, Leland Rogers, listen, he's not my best friend in the world. We'll put it to you that way, all of us. But I'm going to tell you this. You know, Leland, if you're listening, you kind of got screwed, man. I mean, he was an afterthought in all this. Like, how do you do that to a guy who's won national championships with you? How do you just discount him and just brush him aside? Things needs to get better. But, you know, again, I don't want to become enemy number one to Syracuse, which I guess I am at times. I'm just speaking what my opinion is as the truth, what I think is true. I mean, I do know that, you know, Leland should get a little credit. Leland did a good job. Obviously, the defense. Guys, we spoke about that, right? We spoke about the things during the season that the defense needed to do to change. But you also can't discount the fact that the guy has been here for some time and they've won with him, okay? And, you know, him getting pushed by the wayside is a shame. It is a shame.
You know what? So, you know what? They're gonna rate him by at the end of the day if the programs are winning. That's really ultimately what matters. That and generating revenue, right?
I mean, it's COVID. No one can generate. What you know, Syracuse does do this, right? They average 7,000. I do know that there'll be a bump.
Yeah,
it'll average 10.
Yep.
Right. It's gonna average 10 to 12. But boys, before I leave you, I want to give a quick shout out to the Cicero North Syracuse girls varsity team who took the section title. My daughter Angela, who's sitting in the car listening to me, embarrassed, right? for the 3 seed, and they upset the 2 and 1 seed in order to win a title, boys. So we want to talk real quick. I just want to say congrats to the North Stars for doing that. But guys, keep firing away. I had to get that in. Sorry, it's just me. I'm a proud dad.
No,
you know, and girl dad, girl dad.
I'm a girl dad myself, and that's all right. I'm glad you threw that in because we were just about to take a break. Tell your daughter Angela and the team that we're proud as well, and congratulations.
Angela, say thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And by the way, don't be embarrassed by your dad. We love Beast Mode. Rick Beardsley, nice enough to join us on the Sports Illa Show. It's ESPN Radio. Quick pause. Mark Larson with Spectrum Sports is next.
Now, going Beast Mode on some nachos.
Here's your nachos.
Thanks.
It's the Sports Zealous Show with Rain and the Glue Guy, Matt.
Doesn't this mean things are finally going back to normal?
On ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk.
Happening in the Twitch chat, we are looking at, let's see, conversation about Boeheim's Army's in there, using pine tar. I'm assuming that's a reference to the pitchers and the foreign substance issue that we were talking about a little bit earlier. Let's see. There's other conversations in there. Feel free to join us. It's been a fun day today. Mario Sacco, Nico Tamurian. We're trying to hook up with Mark Larson from Spectrum Sports. Did not get an answer on that phone call quite yet. I don't believe. You'll keep trying him. We'll see if he dials back in. Something could happen. And then, of course, went Beast Mode with Rick Beardsley, who was singing the praises as a girl dad for his daughter, Angela, Cicero North Syracuse. And those girls just won. Congratulations to them. Wanted to get his thoughts on the Wild Hack Presser. I do have some audio that we're going to be sharing momentarily. Wanted to get his thoughts on Boeheim's Army, too.
Agreed.
I'm so excited for this. I know we're going to get through the Stanley Cup final and we're going to get through the NBA finals. But, yeah, there's Yankees baseball. But that's the other thing I was looking forward to, basically until training camp for the NFL and getting to the NFL season. And I suppose I'm slightly excited for the Syracuse football season. But you won one game last year, so maybe not as much as Boeheim's Army. Maybe that's just me. You? How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait for Syracuse football, as always. I just hope it's a lot better season than we saw last year.
Let's get a little audio out here real quick. You know what?
I was going to say, do you want to push Soundcheck up? Maybe we can get him on at 3:30?
Yeah, we'll try to work around that. I did want to share some John Wildhack audio. One of the other things that stood out to me, and there was a lot addressed, and yes, he says a lot sometimes, but doesn't say much at all. But they did ask about the 11 transfers out of the women's basketball program. I'm trying to see who I can attribute that question to. That was Chris Carlson, I believe, that had asked about that. He also asked about the drop in revenue.
Yes, he did.
So in response to Chris Carlson of Syracuse.com's question, this is what John Wildhack said yesterday.
The portal, it's not unique to us. 11's a big number, I get it. But there are other programs that had 8, 9 in there. You know, on the women's side and the men's side, so it's not unique to Syracuse. It's a sign of the times, sign of reality. One of the things that about the portal in general, which concerns me, Chris, is there are kids who are going to who have put their name in the portal. They may not have a landing spot. You know, think about that. They may not have a place to go back to. They may not have a place to play. All right. Not only do they not get to play, what happens to their college education? What happens to that scholarship? And that really, really concerns me. In terms of women's basketball in particular, we had a number, I think it was 5, who had graduated and either received their undergrad or their graduate degrees. They had 1 year left. You know what? They've done what they came to Syracuse to do. They got their degrees. They played at a high level. They got 1 year left. If they want to go someplace to play, you know what? They have the right to do that. And, you know, they will always be part of our program. You had others, you know, you had some 4 freshmen who transferred out. I think part of that is you know, we're not going to, from a culture perspective and what we ask of every student athlete, we're not going to deviate from that. Whether it's in times of, you know, we get out of COVID or when we're in COVID. And we've had an influx of transfers coming in. We've got, you know, five, you know, high school freshmen who are coming in, who are on campus now. So it's just, it's reflective of the time a little bit. And you're going to see more roster turnover. And I think it's really going to be a challenge for every coach in terms of roster management, right? And I just, again, I worry most for kids who are in the portal in football, men's basketball, and women's basketball who don't have a landing spot. What happens to them?
They come back to school. We can flip over to the men's team and look at John Bolajac, who is returning. It's a nice depth piece, and we'll see what happens other than that. Wasn't a huge contributor last year. I think they're looking for Jesse Edwards, quite obviously, Frank Anselm, to make some... to get better. Let's put it that way. As Jim always says, we got to get better, and they need to get better. Syracuse women's team, yes, they've added players. They've rounded out this roster. I don't know if on paper it is as good of a team as it was last year, but you got to get in the gym. You got to practice, and coach has got to do his thing and figure out what to do with these players. He's learning their strengths and weaknesses. It's really kind of going to be the same thing for Jim. Let's be perfectly honest.
True. Very true.
Until you really get that team together and practicing and then get out on the court and play some games, you ultimately don't know what you got. I don't know. Bubble team again for the men, you think?
Usually when they're a bubble team, things go well for the team. So here's the hoping, right?
So that means everybody has low expectations, isn't happy with those who left the men's team via transfer portal or turning pro, and then who was brought in. So that means a Final Four run. This year.
Let's do it.
It's usually the way it works out.
But 11 women leaving, that's a lot. I know he says, you know, there's other teams that have quite a bit as well, 9 or 8, but not double digits like Syracuse had.
Well, it's kind of like when you're disciplining your kids and they're blaming their friends or everybody else. And you're like, I don't care about other people's kids. I'm worried about you. It's the same type of situation.
Correct.
You know, let's just focus. We care about Syracuse University and what happens here. We're not concerned. Listen, if something weakens another team or another program, specifically in the ACC, that's one thing. But if we don't get better, what's the use, right?
So I'm assuming the conversation between him and Coach Q made John Wildhack feel like it's not a big deal. So hopefully it isn't a big deal. Hopefully us as fans are making a bigger deal out of it than it actually is.
Yeah, you better have the right answers to the questions I'm going to ask, and apparently they were answered appropriately, and I guess we move on. Speaking of the men's basketball team, though, he did talk about and named a couple of names. He said it's not going to be Griffin, but maybe it's Red, maybe it's Jerry, as far as when Jim retires. And by the way, why do we keep asking this question? It's not going to happen anytime soon.
I agree.
But we keep asking this question. So this was the response to it. Stephen Fonte actually asked the question, and I suppose you kind of have to.
I've always spent some time, you know, in terms of succession planning for all of our sports. You identify a list of candidates, right? You know, every AD does that. You know, internal candidates, external candidates. And at the right time, you know, we'll address that. We're very fortunate. And our three assistants, Coach Autry and Coach McNamara, both of those, they will both be head coaches someday. I firmly believe, and they'll both be successful. Coach Griffin, you know, Allen's done a really good job since he's been here. Doesn't have quite the experience that Jerry or Adrian does. But we've got a great staff, and either Jerry or Adrian, they're capable of being a head coach, I think, anywhere in the country. But we're also, as we did for men's lacrosse, we hired Gary, not because he's an alum, because we thought he was the best person to be the leader of our men's lacrosse program. We'll apply the same criteria to our men's basketball program.
I just wonder if you want to keep it in-house when it's all said and done.
So is Coach Q going to be the men's basketball coach?
3, 4, or 5 years away. Oh, they're just going to slide him on over. Yeah, I think it's more than likely you're looking at Jerry or Red as the first options. Or maybe...
Do you still feel like Coach Hop is still an option and legally he can't talk about another coach for another program?
I feel like Coach Hop, it looked really good for a year or so, and it's not gone well in Washington. Who knows? Yeah, I think that's a name that a lot of people want. I don't know if that's going to happen. If he was winning consistently in Washington, it might be different. But it's
but I don't think he would leave if he was winning.
He's away from the program. He's far enough away from the program. I don't know if you want to just kind of keep the consistency of having guys that have been there, Jim's right-hand man, whether it be, you know, Coach Autry or it's Jerry McNamara, and you just move forward that way, at least initially in the season or two after Jim retires, and see how that plays out.
But we have a coach in waiting that left because he was sick of waiting.
Because he got sick of waiting. He said, I'm done. I've waited long enough.
So
Jim's not going anywhere. And guess what? Jim isn't going anywhere.
Correct.
He's still not going anywhere.
If and when Jim does leave, I wonder if Coach Hop does come back.
A couple of previews of our official sound check segment with some audio from the John Wildhack press conference yesterday where he addressed a whole bunch of different things. Why don't we get to some of the more of that next? We'll work in a kerfuffle. There's a little battle going on with a couple of players in the PGA, and I have a funny piece of audio to play you about that. And then, of course, Major League Baseball is fighting with the pitchers. So that's interesting. How about a comment from a Hall of Famer next on ESPN? Is that Mark Larson?
I don't know. It's a different number. Let's check.
Let's find out.
Hello, ESPN.
Is this Mark Larson?
No. Are you taking calls on the talk show?
We're going to talk to you off. We're going to talk to you off the air, and we might be able to bring you back on. Quick commercial break on ESPN Radio. Hang tight.
It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain and the Glue Guy, Matt. On ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk.
Jam-packed today on the Accelerate Sports Complex phone line here on the Sportszilla Show. We even just spoke with John, actually became a Twitch exclusive at QSportsTalk, and he was asking about Wildhack, specifically about the women's team and, you know, Aaron's some concerns about Engstler leaving, Cardoso leaving, and listen, it doesn't look to be as good of a team as it was. A lot of talent left Coach Quentin Hillsman and the Syracuse women's basketball team. I guess you got to have some time to figure that out. That was addressed by Athletic Director John Wildhack yesterday in a press conference. So I'm going to start there with Mark Larson with Spectrum Sports. We got him locked in on the phone. We'll address your golf score momentarily. We won't bury the Sportszilla Open Golf Match lead. But what was your main takeaways from the Wildhack press conference? We've asked everybody that today, whether it was the Boeheim succession plan, whether it was the women's team, could it have been lacrosse? Was it the loss of the $10 million in revenue? Or is there anything else, Mark, that stood out to you?
You know, that kind of covers it. The thing about John Wildhack, and I have a lot of respect for him. He knows exactly what he's doing and exactly what he's going to say. He's very measured. And so I keep waiting and hoping that someday he's going to slip. He's going to slip up and actually, you know, say something that he didn't intend to say or that he didn't intend to leak out or whatever. So what I always hear from John is kind of what I expect to hear. I'm still waiting for the unexpected. So for him to talk about fans coming to the dome, that, of course, is something everybody wants. I think it was kind of interesting how he said, hey, if we want to get back to normal, get out there and get vaccinated. And so he's right. And I hope everybody gets that message. Like, if SU fans want a full dome again, we've all got to get vaccinated. So do your part and get out and do that. So that's going to be my political stance for the day. But, yeah, that was one of the more interesting things I heard.
So we've got the discussion of full capacity at the dome. And then we had the news that the Great New York State Fair, 100% capacity. We lost it last year. We didn't have it last year, but we're going to have it this year. Now, just literally, what, a week and a half ago, it was a roughly 50% capacity. Well, a lot can change. You reevaluate the numbers. Governor Cuomo even said that, and you make some changes, and here we go. So before we get to the golf, fair food. What's your favorite fair food? We always got to talk about a food. What's your go-to? I know you'd be excited about this.
This is so easy. And first of all, he's at 100% capacity. We all know the fair is going to be at 200% capacity.
You're right.
All the people that didn't come last year have been saving their vacation for this. They're going to be coming out in droves. Anyway, favorite fair food is really easy, and it's the pizza free. Mm. And I don't know how you can't say that's number one on all of your lists. It's something you really don't get at any other time of the year. I know this year during COVID, they tried to have these, you know, weekends where they'd set up the pizza free van or whatever. You could drive up and get some, and people waited in line for hours for it. You know, and for $4, I remember the good old days when it was only $3, but now they're $4, but it's still, it's a good 15 minutes of entertainment. It's hot. It's sticky.
You sit there and you dance to the songs when you're waiting in the line. It's the best. It's the whole experience. I totally agree. And we always do it on the way out of the fair, too.
Yes.
It takes the last
yes.
thing, because then you can eat half of it on the way to the car. And then by the time that you actually get out of the traffic and get cruising again on the highway,
it's gone.
It's gone. But because of that, you then learn with experience that if you go to the fair year after year, you just buy a few extra. And
oh, of course.
And you pack
yeah,
it
you
in. You
get a bag of it.
You put it
yeah,
in the back of the car.
One.
And you have to stash it in the trunk or in the back of the truck or whatever, the back of the van.
So you can't grab it.
So you can't grab it. And you can't get your kid when you're going 65 miles an hour to go, hey, could you just reach back and get the rest of the pizza free out of the back? You can't do that either. That's not a good idea.
Because it's never making it to the front seat. Nope.
Michael says he likes the pickle barrel steak tips all day. All right. It was a good conversation about food. Let's get back to the sports. Sportszilla Open, you shot 83. Mario shot 91. Did he take any mulligans?
We gave ourselves a mulligan off the first tee, and he did take one, I will say. I hit a second shot because I didn't see my first one. And oddly enough, my first one was about 20 feet in front of my second one, so almost directly in front of it. So that was it. But, yeah, it was I was hitting it as well as I could, and I kept thinking, you know, what's it like for the pros when they shoot 65 or 64? And really, that's what it felt like for me, because I consider even par to be 90 when I play, and so I was 7 under. So that's like a 65 for a pro, and you know, we all have days like that, and then we have other days where we're lucky to shoot, you know, break 100. So it was a good day for me. The weather was a little iffy on the back nine. I think Mario probably told you I didn't listen, but it was more like the British Open on the back, and we survived. And
we saw
he actually
pictures.
Battled back and beat me by one. Yeah,
he shot a 91. You shot an 83. So are you moving on after the inaugural Sportszilla Open golf match to play Alex Sims individually, or are the two of you going to move on and play Alex Sims and Kay Callaway? Because Mario said, and we told him, and he told us to relay this message to you. That it will put money on it if he has to, but he said specifically if you want, the bet could be pizza and wings, that he wipes the floor with those two.
He will not lose to either two.
That's what he said.
Yeah, I think it's much more fun with a two-on-two, so I think we should do that, and I think we should do match play. He and I were playing match play. The great thing about it is you can have a bad hole, and it's not going to kill you, and it keeps every hole interesting. So I would definitely go for the two-on-two, kind of like a Ryder Cup type deal, but it's battle of the sexes. You know, maybe we can get some fans out there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this for sure, and this match needs to get booked. Sportszilla Open golf match number 2.
Didn't he say he would give 7 strokes as well?
Battle of the sexes. Would give 7 strokes, too. I think he did say that.
I mean, if he really wants to eat pizza and wings, he needs to just keep it straight up. I mean, we don't want to take any chances here. Plus, they get to hit it like way in front of us on most of the holes. So let's hang on a little bit there.
I think those ladies are pretty keyed up to beat the two of you. Mark Larson with Spectrum Sports is here with us on ESPN Radio and the Sports Hill Show. Yeah,
I almost feel bad for Mark because Mario's talking all this junk, and Mark's like, whoa, 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 hold on. Don't be talking like that.
We need to get together here. I mean, who's the captain? I would think I would be the captain, wouldn't I? I mean, just for age alone. If not for score, so.
You technically have the overall honors after winning the initial match. That's all I'm saying. All right, we'll get to the bottom of this soon enough. I did want to ask you one other question about Boeheim's Army. We've asked everybody about this today. We've been so excited for this, seeing Jeremy Pope slide in and become head coach. Ryan Blackwell will be his main associate head coach, but Devo's back, Tyler Lydon. We know injury prevented him before, same with Chris McCullough. Malachi Richardson is in. A couple of unfamiliar names in Kiefer Sykes and Tyrese Rice, but C.J. Fair and Pascal Chukwu, Andrew White, your sharpshooter. So far, great roster in year 7, and there might be another name or two that's added to this. So what are your observations? I cannot wait for July and Boeheim's Army to get on the court.
Yeah, and I actually spoke with Ryan via text message today. I texted him yesterday. He didn't get back to me, but he basically told me that he wanted to stay involved in the, with the team in some way, and so did they. But he's got a new baby daughter named Lowell, if he's listening, and she's, I think, a month old. So he said, as you know, as a parent, that takes a lot of time. So he wanted to be a daddy, but he also wanted to stay involved. So I think it's great that he is still involved. And he also told me that just wait until you see the last few names on the roster released with two exclamation points. So I texted him back and I said, are we talking Dion? Are we talking, you know, Rock or somebody like that? He texted back and said, no SU guys, but two guys who've had a lot of success in the tournament. So take it for what it is. But, yeah, he's very excited about a couple of guys that are going to be added to the roster, which, as you mentioned, already has, you know, quite a few big names to it. So looking forward to seeing who those guys are and, you know, really happy that he's still a member of the whole thing. I think, who knows, this could be the year. They've definitely made a lot of runs, and with all these kind of new influx of people, you know, Adam Weitzman, and they're going to be treated more like pros or stars, I think, this summer. So should be a lot of fun to watch.
Mark Larson, once again, with us from Spectrum Sports here on the Sports Illustrated Show with ESPN Radio. So I know you're not as big on baseball as the other sports. So we've already addressed the foreign substance issue. The other big news story of the day in the world of sports is in the NBA. First of all, it's KD having that monster night and carrying the Nets on his back. It was just ridiculous how he just literally willed that team to win and did a little bit of everything. But then there's the news today. You come out and you got Kawhi Leonard. ACL is the rumored injury. This is not good. And Chris Paul having to enter COVID protocol. And then LeBron, just a few minutes ago, following that up, he's going off on Twitter talking about how basically the way the schedule is played out, coming out of the pandemic and the bubble, and at this point in the season, you knew this was going to happen. You do not want to see these teams fall apart because superstar players are not part of this. It just sucks for the game.
Yeah, and quite honestly, if there's one sport that I'm that's next in line from the MLB that I'm not crazy interested in, it's the NBA. And I think it's because when I was growing up, the NBA was more about what team do you like, and it's become such an individualized sport. So anyway, that's just old school me talking. You know, and these pros that you're talking about are all old school pros. So, you know, eventually, yeah, they're going to have to give way to the new young up-and-comers, the Trey Youngs and the, you know, Ja Morant and all those guys. So, you know, I will sit down and occasionally glance at it. My son loves the NBA, and I probably enjoy playing NBA on Xbox more than I like watching an actual game. That's so even though I have very little chance of winning, at least it's entertaining to me.
That's okay. Appropriate answer. We're going to pause right there. We'll talk to you next week. Get us updated as soon as you know anything about the Battle of the Sexes with the next golf match in the Sports Illa Open, okay?
Will do. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that's Mark Larson with Spectrum Sports. This is the Sports Illa Show on ESPN Radio. Why don't we come back with the last thing that we'll say today? Very interesting list of free agents for TBT. We'll share that next.
The Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt.
Can everyone hear me okay?
Hello? I can hear you.
Okay, well, so we've made some amazing adjustments, and okay?
Here's the last thing we'll say today on ESPN Radio.
ESPN.
And twitch.tv/QSportsTalk.
Gianelli Sausage and Dinosaur Barbecue not going to the fair. There's conversations about that and fair food in the Twitch chat at Q Sports Talk. Also, people's favorite beers. I'm seeing PBRs in there, Keystone Lights in there, Mick Ultra in there. All right. We have fun discussions.
Yes, we do.
Has nothing... We were sort of talking about that on the air, weren't we? Sort of?
With Mark, yeah.
Yeah, and then... But the conversations in the Twitch chat go off on a little bit of a tangent. So it's been a fun day today. We moved things around when we needed to, gave you some good audio, heard a little bit from Wild Hat, got some comments on that. One thing that we didn't address, though, that I want to real quick is no Brent Axe today, no on the block, which does mean Yankees on Deck will start on time at 6 o'clock and not 6:04. Matt Page, the glue guy, and myself, Rain, will be back in here to break down a much-needed win yesterday. Let's just put that out there. Jordan Montgomery was their starting pitcher. Very interesting also the bats that have come alive for the New York Yankees.
Some unexpected, some that were expected.
Some that you're like, whoa, where you been for 2 months? Machine, DJ LeMahieu, suddenly he's hitting again. Looks like the Kraken is hitting again.
The Kraken is back.
But overall, this is a very frustrating team. Let's just be perfectly honest. But at least we get to talk about a win tonight. They got shut out.
And Gerrit Cole on the mound tonight.
Gerrit Cole's on the mound. They got shut out against Philadelphia on Sunday. So we do Yankees on Deck yesterday, and there's a portion where we share the highlights.
And there was one. There wasn't one.
There wasn't any. You get shut out. There are none. At least there are a few tonight, so we look forward to that. So if interested and a Yankees fan, Yankees on Deck on ESPN Radio. Let's close out with the TBT free agents to, I guess, put a bow on that conversation that we were having with Mark Larson.
I'll just give the top three that TBT released a little while ago. Dwayne Wade, Isaiah Thomas, and Jimmer Fredette.
Because we heard Mark said via some investigative journalism, it's not going to be Deion Waiters, not Syracuse guys, but a couple of big names. Could those be them? See you tomorrow at 2 at ESPN Radio.